Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And this is Diana Deeney. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Diana. Great to podcast with you today.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been one of the topics that I would love to share with you is that I'll share the background for our listeners. Is I'm writing this new book. It's basically, it's achieving effective FMEAs. So it builds off of my original book, but it's more targeted and simplified, making the whole subject as simple as possible, focusing on fundamentals. But what I've done is I've added a lot of exercises and case studies and things like that, because I think application experience is so important. And in doing that, I was very fortunate to get feedback from a lot of people from Ascendo Reliability on the book.
That's nice.
Yeah. And in so doing, they asked me a bunch of questions in between feedback. So feedback one, feedback two, question about something or other. And I highlighted some of those as really fun topics for podcasting. And one of them that came up a few times is how do you select FMEAs? And I thought that'd be interesting to talk about. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds great. And that's great that the community is kind of rallying behind you here. And as they ask questions, you're probably tweaking some of the content for future readers. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So what I was able to do and what Fred and I did on our book, The Process of Reliability Engineering, that came out a couple of years ago, is before that book came out, he did the same thing. He circulated portions of it, not the entire book, but portions of it to different volunteers to get feedback. What a great way to integrate help from the greater, from the broader community into a book. So I'm really, really grateful for that.
Yeah, especially because reliability engineers, there's not many working at a company, in one company. And it's applied across so many diverse industries that it is great to have the Ascendo Reliability community help.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And in fact, this is a little sidebar.
Sure.
But the last podcast Fred and I did, we talked about how the subject of FMEA is maturing, it's changing, it's building, it's growing. And we differentiated between the fundamentals, which don't change, and the application, which does. Mm. Because the application builds in technology, and we have new ways to do it, and we learn things about RPN, for example, and different ways to prioritize risk. And one of them that we've learned a lot in the last number of years is selecting FMEAs. So let me just riff on that for a minute, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions as well.
Okay.
So years ago, the FMEA was done, I'm going to say, in many companies, it was done randomly. So I'm going back to the 80s and 90s, and some executive would say, let's get an FMEA done on the widget, and people would go off and do the FMEA. Or some engineer would say, I heard about this tool called FMEA. Let's apply it on the door hinge, and off they go. There wasn't necessarily great thought put into which FMEAs to do. So that's years back. That's not 100% true. Some companies did a really good job of thought, but a lot of them didn't. Then we developed in automotive a technique, I call it preliminary risk assessment, which mm-hmm. says for a new Corvette or a new Malibu or whatever, let's identify which FMEAs to do. So it was a deliberate and conscious prioritizing preliminary risk to say, here's the areas that have the most new technology or the greatest safety issues, or field history that's not been good on the prior generation or different criteria. And then we go through the system hierarchy and rate those things 1, 2, 3, 1 to 5, red, yellow, green. And we would then be able to prioritize which areas. And we call them, for lack of a better name, we call them critical parts or critical systems if they're at the system level. And we basically surface the most critical areas to use FMEA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what drove it is the fact that commercially we don't have unlimited resources and time and money to do FMEAs on everything and do a really good job. And in some areas, like in the military years ago, they would say, okay, we're just going to do an FMEA on this whole area, and it's a big FMEA. It didn't necessarily prioritize which areas. So that's a little bit of the background. You were going to say, Diane?
I was going to say that that evolved into the NUDs that people use. What's new, unique,
yeah, NUD.
Different, or difficult. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, NUD, that is a way to select. And I would add certain, now the criteria can be very company specific. This is the beauty of it, is like I've consulted with, I don't know, maybe 120, 130 companies in the last 15 years. And when we work on an FMEA project, I'll start with, okay, let's select FMEAs, and we make the criteria very company specific. So I'll work with the project team on the new widget and say, and with them, we'll develop 5 or 6 or 7 criteria that surfaces FMEA, and it's different company by company. And there's some similarities, but there are differences. And so we agree on those criteria, then we assess them. And this whole thing takes 1 or 2 hours. So it's not a great time hog. We assess the criteria against the system hierarchy, or in the case of PFMEA, process flow diagram or process steps, and we prioritize. If they have time and money to do FMEAs on everything, which they normally don't, they can do that. They can do it on everything. But this allows a way to prioritize the most important FMEAs. And that way they get done first. It's a great way to keep people interested. Nothing worse than doing an FMEA on a low risk, no issue area.
Yeah. What's the purpose? Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So from your experience, how would that, what I'm describing, work in your field? Is FMEA selection something that adds value, do you think?
Oh, well, definitely. You know, talking back to fundamentals, we have to remember that this is an analysis. We're doing an analysis in order to identify areas where we need to take action to reduce risk and evaluate the risk that our decisions have an impact on. So if we consider that as an analysis, and just like we do test plans for any new product or service, you know, we're rolling this out. What should we test before we roll it out? What do we need to be confident in, and how confident do we need to be? Just like those test plans, we could test everything, but it would take a lot of time and money, or we could prioritize what we need to test based on what it is we need to know, based on the risk of it. So I equate choosing FMEAs like creating your test plan, except you're choosing what analysis to do. But then the extra nice thing is when you do your FMEAs, those can feed into your test plans. So that's how I like to think about FMEAs. It's less a table, more of an analysis process that you can keep referring back to. So the more you can get the team involved in choosing what to do that analysis on, the more buy-in there will be on not only the activity itself, but then also the actions that come after that.
Yeah, very good. Very good. I'll share a couple of stories that align to this. I was with a company, I won't mention the name. We were on an offsite doing a brand new system that they're developing. And so we're going to do an FMEA on a portion of that system. In getting this team engaged was so important. And we had a topic. We knew what we had to do. So that was prioritized. This was a management decision. We're going to do an FMEA on that particular subsystem. And what I did in the same theory of selecting, pre-selecting, is I said, okay, this subsystem has 8 or 10 functions to it, at least. It's a complex subsystem.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's get feedback from you. The first thing we did, let's talk about which areas, which functions we want to focus on. And we prioritized those, and it went so well because they had been put through the ringer on previous regimes on FMEA of working on very low risk functions, things that nobody was interested in, they didn't have any issues on. And so when they selected a particular function to start on, everybody's engaged, everybody's involved, and it went very well. Same thing with the project team on selecting which I'll call them items, which portions of the subsystem to work on, get that much higher level of engagement. I was in Canada a few years ago working with a company. It was a GPS system, a portion of a GPS system that they were supplying. And we were working on process FMEA. And I did the same thing. I said, okay, they already sent me their information. I knew what their process was. And so I'll just make up a number, say we have 15 steps in the process. We don't have to FMEA all of them. And they go, oh, thank God. You know, they can see the, because some of them they've had no issues with for years, but other ones have been very difficult. And the process was changing and they are worried about that. And so we prioritized which process steps to focus on. And everybody was very engaged on that. And then time permitting, we could just keep going down and cover more of them. So that whole subject of prioritization, when Chris Jackson and I were doing the RAMS reliability management tutorial, we did it for a number of years, and before that I did it with Fred Schengelberg, we always talked about the value of the vital few. And so let me just throw out this statement to listeners. I would rather do fewer FMEAs really well than lots of FMEAs marginally well. And so I'm a huge proponent of zeroing in on where you need to be focusing your resources. Because if you do that well, like safety issues, critical issues, high performance issues, and then you're going to keep people engaged and you're going to take care of the most important issues, which at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. So let me just stop rambling for a minute and see if you have some thoughts to throw in as well.
Yeah, I do. I have a couple. But just to kind of take off your last point there, you'd rather focus in on the things that are critical than do it on everything. And they're in regulated industries, there's sometimes companies feel like it's scary or risky to not do FMEA on the whole thing because they're getting audited or they need to get something approved for market. So there's this this fear aspect that drives some people to decide to do FMEA on maybe more than what they need to in order to just demonstrate that they've assessed the risk. But here's the thing, is heading into FMEA with this prioritization, you're making risk-based decisions already. And that's why some of the preparation for FMEA is so important, why you would want to do a process flowchart, look at the complaints of a similar product, see what's happening with other people's products in the field, and is your product going to end up the same way, or are you going to differentiate it somehow? So you do have to do some pre-work and pre-study and really understand what it is you're evaluating to help prioritize the FMEA that's important. And that can be part of your risk-based decision-making. So instead of doing FMEA on everything, you're applying slightly different risk criteria earlier to determine what you need to do FMEA on. So have you seen that, Carl, where some companies will want to do FMEA on everything? And then in my experience, too, it just becomes so big and so overwhelming that it's really difficult to do actions on. So I guess that was a two-parter back to you, Carl. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
And then what's the result of doing that? There's some real negatives that I've seen.
Yeah, great question. Good insight into what the reality is when you try to do too much. First of all, I always tell my clients that we're going to do due care all across the board. So I don't care what it is. It's whatever's being done has to be done with professionalism and due care, with proper engineering principles, that type of thing. So all we're talking about now is where the extra care is, where the extra methods are. And these could be not just FMEA. They could be extra methods like fault tree analysis or HALT or certain areas, the whole set of tools of reliability, for example, can be selected based on some type of risk assessment preliminary. So how do you select reliability tools is a similar subject. We're focusing right now on FMEA. Mm-hmm. So what I've seen that where companies that try to do FMEAs and everything, and I've been there, I've worked for a company for years that tried to do that in the automotive industry before I went off on my own. The PPAP process was applied in a certain way in the 90s that required FMEAs on all incoming parts. And it was a checkbox. It was a get the form filled out on time so that we can ship the part. And I actually developed a process at one company I worked with that we're going to, for certain, yeah, they can do whatever they have to do. Didn't try to change the world there. To follow procedures on PPAP, et cetera. But we're going to add something onto it for the vital few critical areas of supplier parts. We're going to require not just an FMEA, but that FMEA be approved by my reliability team, because it was critical, before parts were shipped. And we also did, because I was head of reliability then, we said, I want your reliability test plan to be approved for us for those critical parts before parts are shipped. So we added.
And this is for suppliers, Carl?
For suppliers. Mm-hmm. So I put that type of leverage on the supplier parts. And I do the same thing internally with companies. Let's select the vital few areas that we're going to put extra focus on and let this goes done well. And we're not just going to see, did you do the FMEA checkbox? We're going to actually look at the quality of the FMEA and on those vital few areas and make sure it was done well and you get the right results. And that has had a profound effect. Just to answer your question on when they don't do that, we end up with, I'll call it, next to useless FMEAs. Just a bunch of
Rose.
I tell one story of I walked into a company. It was making a special type of braking system for a large truck. It's really unique. I won't even describe it here because we'd know the company. It was environmentally friendly. It was a whole bunch of things. And they brought me in for reliability. And I said, let me see your system FMEA. It was like hundreds and hundreds of pages long, small font, useless words. And I said, okay, thank you for that. Now let's get one done and focus on the vital few areas that are highest concern. And we did that, and it took not a whole lot of time. I think we ended up 2 days or less on that, just surfacing the biggest issues. And we found the most important things and got them taken care of quickly. So the downside is you end up with paper that doesn't add value. And that's what happens if you do not prioritize.
So just a quick question. When you had that hundreds of pages, you said, all right, let's focus in on the critical few. Did you go through the whole FMEA process again with a team? So it was like a brand new FMEA or?
No, we started over. Basically did it the way that I would normally do it, which is to do that preliminary risk and then focus in on the most important areas. And then we're very, very thorough on those important areas. Like we really get them nailed so they do not happen. We also seed, and this is important, we seed the FMEA with known issues. So either from the field or known from the experts. So I'll use yellow stickies and all kinds of things to make sure we have known issues in there. And we bring them in as failure modes. And so we can show how they don't repeat. So there's more, there's a lot to the subject to avoid the trying to do this FMEAs on everything. And that's, and I'm not saying you can't do it. This is where I'm very careful with companies. If you feel that your company has to do an FMEA in everything, in every single line, and you have the approach to do that, go for it. So I'm just talking, if they tell me, which is very often, we don't have the time to do FMEAs, they sometimes say that, and I go, no, oh, yes, you do. You're going to have the time to do it. Because if you don't, you're going to spend way more time with your recalls and field problems. But they think, okay, well, we can't do it on everything. Fine. If that's your approach, then let's select the FMEAs. So I don't force selection on companies. This is their decision. If they're resource limited, this is the way to focus FMEAs on the highest risk areas. I just wanted to share that part of it with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually at a point, it occurs to me, that I want to recommend to listeners, we'd love to hear how you do this. We'd love to hear from you. What is your approach to selecting FMEAs? How do you avoid a big, massive FMEA on everything? How do you manage this process so it can be done with the resources you have? So you have the teams, you know, their energies are valued and focused on important things. We'd love to hear from you.
And you can leave your comments at ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. And that'll take you to a page just for this show. Fred set it up to join the conversation. You can send a voice message and we'll get that. And you can also leave other comments and questions. So Fred made it easy to contribute. And, you know, Carl and I were starting out, we were talking about his book and the community rallying behind him to be beta readers and editors. We love to hear from the community. So please visit it. Again, it's ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR.
Very good. Very good. Nice talking with you, Diana.
Yeah. Same with you, Carl. And see you next time.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.